Good morning and welcome to Leftover Grounds. Seems that Facebook is headed in a better direction than Twitter by not getting involved in influencing your political views. And Twitter won't allow political rhetoric that goes against their business model, but it will allow child pornography. And the WHO is now, after a year and a half, going to investigate the origins of COVID. Thank you. So let's get into it. So Facebook has stated that one of the top pieces of feedback that we are hearing from our community right now, this is from Mark Zuckerberg, is that the people don't want politics and fighting to take over their experience on our services. And so they're going to discontinue recommending any groups or pages that are affiliated with political parties and things like that, which I think is smart. They shouldn't be involved in that in the first place. Yes, you should be allowed to talk about politics on Facebook on that platform, but they shouldn't be dictating who you see and what you see and just by an algorithm. And you should get, say you're a far right Republican, right? And all you're getting because your algorithm, you're feeding this algorithm, is far right groups and news and information constantly. How are you ever going to compare and contrast? How are you going to look at like more left-leaning material and make a decision on whether or not you agree with it? It's the same with the other, you know, if you're far left or socialist, how are you ever going to, if you're only being fed what a liberal believes or a leftist believes, and it all goes, you know, within your purview of what you believe, your belief system, how are you ever going to shine a light on things that might be wrong with that belief system that need to change? You won't. That's why we get siloed. So I think it's smart that he's not going to get involved in dictating that information. I know recently I've used Facebook. I don't use Facebook often, but I used it recently to talk about my sister. And it was so nice because Facebook became what it was supposed to be, a place for community, a place for making connections with people. You know, all these people from all over the country that knew my sister were able to put their comments, you know, into Facebook about her. And it was wonderful. It was like, 100 comments on my sister. It actually brought back memories that had been, long gone because I'm getting older. And that's what it's supposed to be for. That's what it's there for. That's what it was originally there for, not for arguments and bashing and, division of families and all sorts of other stuff that's been going on because of politics. So I think he's heading in the right direction. On the other hand, Twitter, my favorite one. Recently, an article came out about how a young man who's now 17, when he was 13, was groomed, was talked into posing nude for some perverts. And then they took those photos and threatened to release them, which is a tactic they use, threatened to release them to his parents, his coach, his pastor. Obviously, this young man was probably keeping things under wraps and wanted it that way. And so they blackmailed him further into posting video of him conducting sexual acts with another young boy. And so those videos were kept. He blocked them. It was on Snapchat originally. He blocked those individuals. And then years later, these videos resurface and they were shared 2,223 times, retweeted, and had 167,000 views. And so when they reached out to Twitter and said, hey, can you take these down? They came back and said, thanks for reaching out. We reviewed the content and didn't find a violation of our policy. So no action will be taken at this time. You got to ask yourself, because these people are doing fact checking and all this other crap and kicking people off. Are they actually looking? How do you allow that? What kind of person is allowing that? If they did see, why is that person the person who's the, hall monitor putting us on timeout and letting child pornographic material be spread without any consequence? And this isn't the first time. Like I said, the disparity is ridiculous. Parler got kicked off for a few bad actors, got shut down, canceled. But Twitter has ongoing problems, constant problems. And the only reason they actually did anything about this was because a DHS investigator went to Twitter and said, hey, we're going to subpoena this, fix it. And that's when they took action. So there's obviously some issues here. And this horrible platform is being protected somehow. So I know I'm officially stating that I'm going to be getting off Twitter and boycotting it, just like I do Netflix for not removing cuties. This one's going on my boycott list. And I'm just going to go without. I don't use it really anyway. It kind of sucks. But I don't think we should be chasing down all these stories and trying to disprove everything. There's so much misinformation out there, we could go crazy doing that. What we should be looking at, though, is the people who are spreading misinformation. They're constantly like, go after this group. They're spreading misinformation. Well, no, you're spreading misinformation. The people that are have these platforms that allow or are dictating who can spread misinformation, who can't. I don't think we should go after the misinformation. We should go after the people who allow it or the people who are deciding what's misinformation, what's not. Because that is the real threat to our democracy and our freedom to speak, to voice our opinion, to choose. To choose is a big one. They're literally taking away your choice by only showing you one-sided thing, all of us. And that should be concerning, I think. If we lived in China, we might understand a little bit better what it's like to not have a voice. So, and of course, right now, the WHO is going to find out firsthand how hard it is to get people to speak up against the government of China. I don't know why it took this long or why it's happening now. Maybe it's because we're joining back up with them and funding them again. I don't know. But they are going to start interviewing people from research institutes and hospitals, the seafood market linked to the initial outbreak, and they're going to have to rely on evidence provided by Chinese officials. So whatever the Chinese say happened. I still think it was some poor intern who didn't have enough money, saw him just throwing away these animals and said, hey, I could sell those on the wet market. They were fairly cooperative starting out, according to our inside expert and according to the interview we did with Jim Wilson, Dr. Jim Wilson. I don't know what they're going to find out that's new or if they're going to find anything out that's new, but I do know that to get anybody in China to make a statement that contradicts what the government has already put out is not going to happen. It won't happen. Nobody's going to speak out. That's what it's like. And all these people who think that China communism is so great, it's not communism, first off. It's a dictatorship. They have a president for life. They do have a decent economy, but the people don't get paid very much. You know, their GDP, if we're looking at that, yeah, they're doing okay. But their people, they get paid crap. They don't get to choose where they work most of the time. You know, you're selected. If you're going to be upper class, it's because you're in the government. There's still a class system within that system as well. It's not like it went away. There is no equality. Unless you want to look at sucking equally as equality, and they don't have a voice. And that's the biggest thing, is they don't have a voice. That's why this thing with Hong Kong is such a big deal. You know, they still have, they have their autonomy, or had their autonomy. And now that's being taken away from them as well. As you watch that happen, to really understand, you need to go visit sometime. I totally encourage people, as soon as we're allowed to travel, please travel outside of the United States. Please travel to some of these countries that are closed. Immerse yourself in the culture. Understand what they'd have to deal with on a daily basis. Understand the stress. Understand the anxiety over what you say and how it can be used against you and your family. We don't want to go that direction, I'm telling you. No matter what happens with our politics, whether we go left or right, when we start going toward one party, just watch out, all right? That's when things get really bad. And I've seen it, and I've lived in it, and it is not a good place to be mentally. A lot of suicide, drug abuse, things like that. More than we have. You just don't hear about it because it's suppressed. Anyway, we don't need to go down that road. I hope everybody's having a great week so far. It's been quite interesting. We're going to be talking and doing our first BOLO briefing. Be on the lookout for those who don't know what BOLO is. We'll be doing that next week, later toward the end of the week. And we'll be having Kervin from Aquin Analytics giving us a briefing on what he thinks the greatest threat domestically to us is currently. And I think you don't want to miss that. So have a great week. Have a great day. Stay safe. And I'll talk to you tomorrow.